And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, October the 16th, 2021. It is season 15, episode 35. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Wendy not with us again this week, but she will be back next week. It's just not... What's the term? Is it conducive? Is that the word? Yeah. Schedule-wise, it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
My schedule-wise, it doesn't work out. So... I had to go work again. Just like I did last Saturday, I had to work noon to two and that sort of thing. So it just kind of just doesn't fit in, you know, makes it a little difficult. So she'll be back next week. Hopefully, and by the way, I am so sorry for last week's episode and how horrible I was. Everything was... I didn't notice it, but like the headphone jack over here, headphone volume that is, it's a strange thing. I have a plug here for headphones, and I have a plug here for headphones, and I know you don't understand what any of that means, looking at the camera or what I'm saying over the radio, but there's one plug-in that is not attached to the control board here, and there's another plug-in that is. So the one that I was listening to has nothing to do with this control board, but the one that streams to the PC has everything to do with this control board. I noticed the headphone jack was turned all the way up. That's why I noticed that everything was on there was just massively loud.
The sound levels were too high.
Oh, yeah. God, it was bad. It was horrible. And I am so sorry to everybody, and I'm really hoping... that's the thing. I couldn't hear that. I couldn't tell that that was going on. I could look up at the screen there, and I could tell that we were hitting the red.
Yeah.
With vocals and everything, but none of that. I was like, well, that's just going to sound really loud. So I backed off the, whatever that is, the threshold, saying, okay, you can't go any louder than this. That didn't fix anything. It just kept it from going louder than that. It still sounded horrible. So anyway, I'm hoping that it's okay. I know on the radio, you heard everything fine. On the stream, as far as the radio stream, you heard everything fine. But I know everything on the podcast, the audio for the podcast, the audio for the video, and everything else is bad. Just completely horrible. Yeah, apparently we've got some hum. I don't know where the hum's coming from. I wish I did. I don't know.
We didn't have this problem upstairs, did we?
We did for a while, actually. We had a hum. You know, there was a time when I would have to go through and do some noise removal out of the entire file. Mm-hmm. To get rid of that noise, and I don't know where it was coming from, and I don't know where this one's coming from either. I could do a switch out to where I switch my plugs. I don't know that that would fix it. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I mean, we could try. We want to try something. I don't know how well this is going to work or anything, but we could definitely give it a try. I faintly hear it now that I've turned the music off. Mm-hmm. In these headphones, I can faintly hear the hum. Well, yeah, I know that did something. That turned... Yeah, it did. No. Yeah. It turned us completely off.
Yeah.
Anyway... Hopefully, if it's okay for you guys. Oh, we can't hear that. I don't hear the hum. Do you hear a hum?
I don't hear a hum.
You have no hum. Okay. Faintly, if I really, really listen for it, I can hear it. But, yeah. So, I wish I could figure that out. Eventually, the weird thing about upstairs is at some point, nobody did anything that I know of. But It was, it fixed itself. It stopped. The hum completely stopped.
Had to have been a short then.
Maybe. I don't know. I really, really don't know. It may have been when I started plugging into... Remember how, because once we started using Discord, I had to switch around how audio was picked up and everything else. Mm-hmm. So maybe that had something to do with it. I am not exactly sure. So, don't know.
Well, as usual, we'll just play with stuff till we figure it out.
I know. That's basically how it goes. We're just going to, we'll wing it until we can figure it out. And until then, we'll make it sound as good as we can on the replays rather than as you're listening to it live. Thanks for putting up with it while you are listening to it live. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. You can check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook at the same exact location there as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv. You can find us there. Just go to our website, scroll to the bottom. There you go. And you'll find all the links to Discord, so you can talk to us. Discord's great. I work in the fair, right?
Right.
Today, I got to. Well, it feels like I got to meet him again. I got to, and ran into Nate.
Oh,
Nate was out there. Yeah, yeah. He and the wife and the kid.
Yeah, how they been?
Well, they've been gone for a long time because like this kid was grown. I mean, grown, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, man, I ain't seen you in a minute.
Yeah, she was past me.
So yeah, I saw him. He came to the booth that we were doing, and I said hello, and I was asking him, you know, how things are going, and I sent him an invite to our Discord because I don't think he had that. I don't know when the last time he was on Discord, but I asked him, you know, hey man, when are you going to come back? And so he was like, you know, it might, because he had stopped because with the kid, wife, other family members, and that sort of thing, he was really staying away because of the COVID stuff,
right.
And his job kind of allowed him to not really have to go in. He could work from home if he needed to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, you know, that'd be great. If anything, you get him up on Discord there just to have him back on the show for a bit. So, I wish I could figure out the hum, guys. I'm so sorry. If I turn off, see, I've turned everything off on the board here with the exception of our mics. And, yeah, it's still there regardless. So nothing that I turn off, or at least that I can hear faintly, nothing I can turn off makes it go away. By the way, for those of you who are regular listeners to this station throughout the rest of the week, when you hear me on in the mornings, you know that we kind of do this from time to time. But I find that this show on Saturday is the best time to try and figure out what's wrong. it's just more convenient to do some, I don't want to say live on-air testing, but that's exactly what we're doing, some actual on-air testing to check things out. I can use this show as that experiment to do that with. I hate to say that, I'm sorry, you just have to be the guinea pigs as we do this, but it's the easiest way to do it. Mm-hmm. It's much more difficult to do this during the week when everybody's trying to actually do the paid gigs instead of the freebie gigs.
I knew money was coming in there somewhere. But yep.
So, yeah. I'm glad Thar66 says no biggie, though. We hear just fine. I'm glad that that's the case. Because, like I said, we can't hear this hum. I mean faintly, and I don't even know. Maybe it's a phantom hum that I'm hearing. I'm making it up in my head. Mm-hmm. But we don't hear this. It's not there. So, I do apologize. But, yeah, it was good to see Nate. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic, and I hope he does. Come back. We would really like to have him come back here. Discord's really good. You pop into Discord, and then you can go into our chat channel. You'll see RJ and myself hanging in there right now, and we can get you on the show. And it sounds really, really good. And we'll talk to you about, you know, just whatever's going on there. Let's see. What do we want to start here today? I'll start with you, RJ. Mm-hmm. What have you? By the way. I know DC Fandom is going on, and that's a stupid name. It's DC E3, sure, whatever. It's video games, movies, all things DC, and they're having their little weekend thing. So I know they've spit out trailers for the new Justice League game and the Gotham Knights game and movie trailers as well. And I've been busy. I can't. So that'll be tonight's viewing on the YouTube. It's finding all the trailers from this thing so I can zip in and watch them. And so, and I know Wendy's listening. So, hey, that's what we're doing tonight. But that's what we're doing tonight while we eat fair food, because I got fair food in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Put it in the fridge anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had never tried a funnel cake.
Really?
Never had one. Or an elephant ear. Okay. Which I'm sure there's diehards who will give me a list of differences between the two, but I will just say they are basically the same. Mm-hmm. Elephant ears and funnel cakes, basically the same. People who make funnel cakes will say that no, they're not, and people who make elephant ears will say no, they're not. Mm-hmm. But everybody else that you ask will say yes, they are. So yeah, she had never had one before. Mm-hmm. Tried it last night. And, yeah. I mean, not like she was scared to try it or thought, oh, it's just going to taste bad. No, no, no.
Just never had a chance to.
Just never had tried one. Yeah. Okay. Never had gotten around to trying one. So, bringing one of those back and stuff. Okay. Listen, yeah, I know I'm on a diet and I got to watch my heart and everything else, but I take pills for that so that I can enjoy moments like this.
Moments, not like everyday.
Moments. Moments.
Moments.
I can tell you from previous years at the fair, which I didn't go last year because I had COVID. By the way, today is the anniversary of my diagnosis of COVID. Mm-hmm. 1 year ago today, probably around this time right here, actually, 4 o'clock that I'm looking at on the thing. 1 year ago today, I was diagnosed with COVID and did not return to work until sometime in November because of how bad it was. It was 7 days. I mean, you guys heard. We played the same show for like 4 weeks because I did not have the strength, the energy. I had nothing to give you to kind of edit a show and put it into and then get it set. None of that was there.
Yeah.
None of that energy was there.
Yeah.
The ability to stay out of bed for any length of time was non-existent. For the first weekend, that first weekend of diagnosis, this was a Friday last year. So that first weekend of diagnosis, I was okay. I didn't do the show. I mean, I woke up feeling worse and worse as it went on. But like Saturday, there was no show. I couldn't show up here.
Right.
Sunday, Sunday, I think I got in some Destiny and finished up their little Halloween event, which I doubt I'll talk about that later, but it's not good this year. It's a grind fest this year. I know Destiny normally is a grind fest,
but this is
a grindier fest. But, so yeah, I did some of that, and then it was fever for 7 days. Mm-hmm. 7 days straight, nothing but a fever. Three hospital visits, three ER visits to the emergency room, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think it was three. It may have only been two. Mm-hmm. But, which, you know, it was so close in between my heart attack. Yeah. So maybe it felt like three. But yeah, today is the anniversary of my COVID diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So, man. Yeah, ruined my birthday. Mm-hmm. I say it ruined it. I don't know that. Yeah, we did have plans. Were we going to go see? I don't know. It just, everything stopped.
Yeah.
You know? And for 7 days, I was in bed feeling completely miserable. And then I came down with the pneumonia after that. And then, of course, I had to finish out my, you know, had to get a positive or negative COVID test and everything else before I could come back to work and have any kind of energy or strength. It was really just takes
you
it right
keep
out
anything
of it.
Down.
Actually, I didn't really have. No, there was. I think maybe once.
I was trying to figure out why you had no energy. Was it just the
no? It's just no. Right? The energy was just because I had no strength. I wasn't eating anything. There was no appetite.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I had no appetite. It wasn't that I couldn't keep anything down. Okay. There was no appetite. Right. And I mean, probably if I did try and eat something, it probably would have, you know, not stayed there. Mm-hmm. I think I only had one fit of nausea the entire time. Mm-hmm. There was one right before I was supposed to go to the emergency room the next day, and that night, that entire night. For about every other hour or so. So I'd get an hour of sleep or an hour and a half of sleep, and then I would wake up and feeling like I did nauseous, just massively nauseous, and nothing would happen because I didn't eat anything. Mm-hmm. And so I would, for lack of a better term, I would retch for, you know, a good few, 10 minutes or so, and then be done thinking, okay, I think it's behind me, and I would fall back asleep. And for maybe an hour, and then wake up again and feel nauseous. And it was like that over and over and over again. I finally got rid of it about 5 in the morning, but we had to get up at like 6 or 7 to go to the emergency room the doctor the next morning to get me all checked out. So that was just rough. It was horrible. So anyways, don't want to relive it. Yep. Wow, Lethal Migraine says he got his third shot in 9 days. What shot? I mean, are you getting it from Bill's Vaccines down the street? Or why are you getting three shots? I got two.
Two here?
Yeah. I had two back in May, I think it was.
Yeah.
A third shot in 9 days. Unless, of course, he's talking about just overall. Like, yeah, he had the two vaccines and then he got a flu shot or something. I don't know. But yeah, did I lose my sense of taste? Actually, no. I didn't lose smell or taste like everybody else did. Or at least like most people that I've heard did.
Yeah.
But I lost complete. I lost energy. I lost weight. I lost strength, energy. I mean, it was just really, it was miserable. It was miserable. Wendy was there with me the entire time. Never caught it. Woman has not had COVID the entire time. Took care of me through that whole thing. She's, you know, immune.
Highly resilient.
She's probably immortal. There's something, you know. There's, you know.
Yeah.
Witch.
Witchcraft? Really?
Okay. She's not of this world. And I'm waiting for the text to come in.
If not, you'll hear it later.
I know,
you'll
I will.
Hear it later. As soon as you step through the door.
Hey, look, something like that, she's going to be like, you right, that's what I am. Mm-hmm. She'll roll with that. Anyway. What have you played, man?
I'm sorry,
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
I just realized that it was like, oh, here it is, a year since I got the nasty.
Yeah. For the most part, I was playing a bit of a Virtual Fighter 5 Final Showdown. They did the update to the game itself, and now they're having tournaments every weekend. And I've been missing out for the longest time, and I want to correct that. So I believe they have sign-up periods on two on Saturday, one on Sunday. So I think I want to go in there and just sign up for a tournament and see what's what, you know, because I haven't been playing too much lately. I've only got like maybe, I think I'm still under 300 matches, mm-hmm. and I've just gotten to level 29 in terms of leveling up. I think it's a berserker at this point. Now I'm trying to break into the 30s and hopefully get into the 40s, because I see some of the top players online now are in the 40 to 42 range, all in Japan and Asiatic countries. So I'm going to have to work on that. It's probably going to take me about 600 to 800 more matches before I even get there, because the level doesn't go up unless you play people of your same rank. So playing someone below your rank or right at it, it won't give you much progress. But playing someone slightly above or significantly above your rank,
yeah,
that'll jack it up pretty
quickly. Okay. Well, yeah,
so
yeah.
That's what I'm trying to work
no,
on.
No, that makes sense. And I really like that sort of, I don't want to say that style of play, but I like
it's work, because it was that way for 4 in the previous titles. I mean,
yeah,
from the arcades in Japan, that's how it worked. I mean, you really earn your rank in this game. At some point it doesn't get didn't get any easier. I mean, you have to play people better than you to rank up.
Right, but the more better than you they are, which is what I was trying to say. But like the higher rank they are, or the bigger the gap between the two players, the better the challenger, I suppose. The lower
the better the challenger, the more points you get.
Right.
But you lose. But when you lose. Lose points as well.
Right. So, yeah. Like a rank 25 player beating a rank 8 player would move them up considerably, and then move that other person down considerably.
That probably wouldn't match, because there's a setting in there where it has you play similar.
So it doesn't match make up. It doesn't match. Like that.
It wouldn't make a match like that unless you go into a room. Let's make a room match.
Yeah, but if you make a room match, that's not ranked.
It won't rank.
It ain't gonna matter. Okay. So in ranks, you don't get to throw that out there, and it doesn't happen like that. It keeps you within that, and you just slowly kind of climb that ladder.
Yeah, you climb that ladder. Yeah. Yep. So you earn your way up. So I've had matches where I've seen people the same rank as me.
Yeah.
But they have like significantly more matches. Like I saw someone with 900 plus matches, but they were one level above me.
Mm-hmm.
So that indicates a serious fluctuation, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, things of that nature. So being consistent pays, because there is something in the game that says the longer your streak, the better your point total is. It gives you more points if your streak is up.
Yeah.
And I've seen some folks with 30, 40 match win streaks, and they shoot up the ladder pretty quick. But being consistent pays, and consistently beating people of a higher rank really pays.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. That's the thing I'm trying to go for. I just need to play more often than I have lately. Other than that, I did a little file checking with Mutant League Football.
Started playing Mutant that. League Football.
Yeah, you remember that one, huh?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, from EA days back in the day.
That's that's a long time ago, man.
Yeah, but they made a remake, and so every now and then I check in on it and see what they've updated it with. And they made another.
Reminds me of what was that midway game? NFL Blitz.
NFL Blitz. Yeah. Little arcade.
Well,
football
style they were trying to do. They were like, "What can we did it for NBA Jam?
Yeah.
How can we move the? What's our next step?
Yeah, they've done it for in the NBA. Then they did it for NHL. There was something for NHL.
Which one was NHL?
There was something they did for NHL. Midway did something for NHL. I'm gonna have to look it up when we get a break, but. There was an NHL themed arcade hockey.
I only remember game. NFL Blitz and
NFL
I remember
Blitz, NBA Jam.
And NBA Jam. Did they ever do anything with? Oh, look at that dog! There's a dog on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, by the way. If a dog's on TV, I'm gonna be. That's you're gonna look at that dog. what was? Did they do anything for baseball? I don't think so.
Slam.
What?
Slam Fest something. They've done. Midway's done something for all the major. Major sports, but I can't remember the names. Of it. We only saw it in Alabama anyway.
What they do for golf and tennis?
Golf and tennis. No, I didn't see anything like that.
NHL. Okay, Lethal Migrant says NHL was hits.
HITZ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Blitz hits. Yeah.
Well, Blitz normally ends with a Z, so yeah.
I know, but that's they were just keeping it in the family
mm-hmm.
with the hits, the Blitz, and the Jams.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really jams,
NBA
but yeah,
jam. NBA Jam, single play.
But what would baseball be?
Slam Fest, I think it was. I'm just guessing at this point.
Mitts? MLB Mitts.
Mitts, yeah. No, I'll have to look it up. I think it was something.
Bar 66, it was a mega baseball or something, big characters. It's on Game Pass. Wayne Gretzky Hockey. Midway made that before they made hits. Yeah, this is all Lethal Migraine. By the way, that shot that Lethal Migraine was talking about, he got two in April, and then he got a third one because he says he loosely works in medical, which is completely understandable. So I'd forgotten about that because you've mentioned that before, Lethal Migraine, that you work in somewhat of a medical type situation. So I completely forgot about that. But yeah,
I'll have to look it up later. But anyway, going on. Mutant League Football, I was getting the new teams. The latest team they got is the Snuffalo Kills. It's the Buffalo Bills Snuffalo, as in...
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, the logo's a dude with a Tommy gun in the logo. So, yeah, so take that for what you will. But with all that being said, still my favorite team in there is still the Mile High Chronic.
you Tim and your drugs.
Tim Kitzrow, who did the voice for NBA Jam, the guy who made the Boom Shakalaka
yeah.
for him. He does the commentary for the game. So before the thing starts, he's already coughing from the smoke.
Okay. Oh.
At the place, yeah. So if no one's ever played the game, the field is basically full of mushrooms, a purple haze. There's rainbows everywhere, spotlights, sparkles, and the team's cheap trick. Basically, everybody gets high.
Okay.
Rainbow fields. When you activate the cheat, the screen warps. Your controller's off, and you basically the effects of how you can't control your character. You can't control your runner on the field at all, and makes the defense.
They try to like, oh well, here's how you're playing if you're if you're enhanced, whatever it is.
Yeah. Under the influence.
But yeah. That's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some people get better.
Bodie Miller.
Yeah. Some people play really well when they're like that.
Oh, no nerves.
Yeah, well, there's that too.
They're not nervous.
Well, I just
they're
mean
relaxed.
even just playing the game. Even just playing the video game itself. Mm-hmm. That's not You know, they talk about, oh, well, it's drunk mode. This is what it's like when you play as a drunk, or whatever, drunk high. Yeah. Then it's, no, not really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't. It's a cool little effect they do in the game.
Yeah.
But it's not how it
that's
actually
not how it really
it's
is.
It's not how it really yeah. is. It's mm-hmm. really not. Mm-hmm. Don't yeah. ask me how I know.
But
it's what I've yeah. heard people say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been, those two this week.
I played some more of Metroid Dread. By the way, if you do call in, the phone is away from where we look. So just let it ring, and if it doesn't answer, call back again.
Yeah.
I'll be periodically looking over so I could make sure that it's ringing and I can see it. I played some more Metroid Dread, and I mean by more, I made just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I did make some progress. I don't like those Emmy rooms. I think the Emmy rooms are actually will get better, actually, but right now it's very, it really gives you that sense of that whole name of dread
mm-hmm.
comes in when you're in that room because yeah. they're searching for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not very stealth-like. I think if it was a sense where it's like, look, just you have to move very, very slowly. If you're going to jump, make sure you're away from them before you jump. If you just stand still, they won't see you. That's what, if there was more elements to where you could be stealthy in that section, and I believe as you go through the game, power-ups will come into play that actually allow you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But currently right now, you go into one of those rooms and it's like, all right, I got to find the nearest exit, you know?
The way you describe it, I mean, I'm thinking stealth really, no, just how tough are these enemies?
You can't kill them.
Can't kill them? Mm-hmm. Okay, they just make a mad dash for the exit. There you go.
There is, you could kill, they introduced you to a power-up that lasts for like one shot. Or at least it did during the tutorial type section.
Right, right.
Where you did kill one that was kind of already malfunctioning and stuff. But mm-hmm. And it took a lot to do that. But they the game really just says, listen, these things aren't invincible, but you are better at getting away from them than you are trying to kill them.
So they're bullet sponges.
Massively.
Massive bullets.
You need a special weapon in order to do this with. Okay. And since they only give you that, they only gave it to you in a tutorial.
Yeah.
Maybe they give it to you later on and then you can go back and take care of them. Then again, I'm not sure that that's the case. Because mm-hmm. they're really only, you know, spaces between two sections and usually involve some sort of puzzle mechanic for you to figure out while you're in there
mm-hmm.
to unlock something and move away and into the next section that you need to be in.
Mm.
So a lot of the times what I found out is they usually, once you find one, and yeah, once you find, and if this is Chris, he's probably going to tell us more about this because he mm-hmm. he called back last week wanting to talk about that, but we had gone on so long.
Mm-hmm.
But once it feels like once you get through a room that has an Emmy in it, you will then find alternate ways to get back to where you were without having to go through. You can go back through if you want to,
mm-hmm.
but they seem to loop around so that you can take the long way around if you would like to do that type of thing. At least, and again, I've only encountered just a slight few because I only put in maybe another 30 minutes of it. We've got music for Metroid Dread that we're going to be playing in our. Remember, it's October, so it's spooky music time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I am going to take a break, and then when I come back, we're going to take this call, because I almost feel positive that it's Chris, and I'll continue the Metroid Dread discussion. But I realize that, hey, we need to take a break. All this music, and even the Metroid Dread, but with all this music, of course, picked again by Wendy, I love the fact that she is looking at the music here that we use, because, like she did last week, she finds music in games I don't normally look for that kind of music in.
Mm-hmm.
What was today? I don't know. When we come across it. Now, this next one, no. It is the big red spot, the sore thumb that sticks out. You know what I'm saying? This is... Silent Hill 2 Pyramid Head theme. So it's Pyramid Head's theme from Silent Hill 2, which, yeah, of course, that's what you're going to get out of there. Now, before we go, I'm going to do this here because I didn't do it at the beginning, so I want to do it at the end of this break. This will help me to find it when I do this later to edit this out. All right. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is from Batman Arkham Asylum. Right? But it's got everything of your spooky Halloween stuff going on. It's called The Abyss of Fear. Obviously, you know, you've got the whole fear toxin, scarecrow thing that goes on in that game, which, by the way, were some of the best parts of, I would say, all of them, I think. Anytime you had that fear toxin thing going in, and it was there was some parts in, was it Arkham Knight? The Mad Hatter section of Arkham Knight, and I don't know if that was in the main game or if that was in the DLC.
It feels like DLC.
It feels like it was in the DLC, but man, that was some good stuff in that.
That was
in that
the,
part too.
Distorted grin and the ears were. Jacked up on his outfit. Something he was going through with
that,
toxin or
no,
Mad
that,
Hatter.
That might have been in one of the first two. Mm-hmm. Because the one, I'm wrong. It was Mad Hatter was the one in Arkham Knight. Mm-hmm. And probably DLC because you go into like a storybook setting.
Yeah, it was like a storybook.
You're actually playing on the pages and they flip the page. Yeah, it was really well done. Mm-hmm. But I know the one you're talking about. I want to say that was in Arkham Asylum or Arkham City, I can't remember. But yeah, good little sections there that they used. And again, I know there's some stuff out there to watch and get around to it. Something we'll probably talk about next week. Okay, on the phone, to continue our conversation about Metroid Dread, and hopefully Metroid Dread without any kind of a spoiler, please, there, Chris, because I'm not much further into it than I was when we last talked.
Well, you can just ask me what you want to know, but I know everything about it. I didn't beat the game and got 100% completion rate. I've found everything in it.
Wow, okay. So, then I'll just ask you this. Do you get to go back and kill those stupid machines?
Yes.
Okay, that's all you got to tell me. That's all you got to tell me.
I mean, there's many more of those. I mean, like, there's seven in the whole game. So.
I know, yeah. But that's all you have to tell me is that, you do get the chance to go back. And
You get, you know, that special beam weapon that you got the first time, you know, that when it gave you the tutorial of how
to do it.
But, like, when you're going through those areas, if you look at the map, that little outlined area, you know, they can explore and go from place to place within that outlined area, as you may remember, you know, from the introductory of those suckers.
Yeah.
So when you're going from one area to the other, as soon as you go outside the door, you know, that's the safe way. You know, basically you're trying to avoid those things, but eventually, you will get another power up. That will, you know, you can, you know, it's like a cloaking device.
I've seen that. Saw that, where you can kind of stand still and be invisible.
But if they walk along that normal path, normally, even if you're invisible, if they run into you, they're going to detect you. So you have to find somewhere where, you know, you're out of range, you know, where they're not going to walk past you or walk beside you. But, you'll get power-ups from those creatures once you get that gun upgrade temporarily to kill the suckers. But it's going to be a little bit more difficult and intense every time you do that, because there's you have to get rid of that little shield around their face, and then that weakens their critical spot where you'll blow them away with that big blast.
Right, yeah. Yep. No, that's really all I was wondering, is if you do get to go back and do that. So
course, like, when you get that upgrade weapon, it does a quick save as soon as you get it. So even if you don't make it the first time and kill the sucker, you can start off right again. You know, there's a little quick save thing where you can keep jumping in there and get to it, you know, real quickly, so you don't have to go back to the last time you actually saved the game.
Gotcha.
Dig into it and keep going, and the real boss fights that you have come across, they're going to be challenging, but don't give up. They're not going to be easy, because even me being a big fan and a big fan of the old Super Metroid on Super Nintendo, this one's quite a bit more challenging than that one was. So don't give up on it.
Oh, no. I don't plan to give up on it at all. I really, even you know, me talking about, like, I'm not putting a lot of time with it, and those rooms with Emmy give me anxiety and everything else, that is not a complaint whatsoever about it. I kind of enjoy that. I just like to space out my Emmy rooms. Just give me a little bit of that right now, and then give me a lot of the just exploration, shooting other stuff, taking down bosses, whatever. But
The Emmys, you know, once you get past that area, you know, those areas, because there'll be sections where you'll have to travel through their area like two or three times.
Yeah.
Unlike other areas, and do it, you know, once you get an upgrade here and there, go back and, you know, like, whenever you get the bombs, you know, if you've played any of the other Metroid,
you
get the bomb. Of course, all these different plots that you have to have this to do and this one to blast away. If you shoot them with a missile and you expose them, you can go on your map, and everything's logged on your map where you can go in there. So this door requires a super missile. This requires this type of beam. You know, if you don't know what type of power-up it is, it says unknown. But until you find that power-up, and then you can go back, and it'll tell you what type of door this is. So whenever you get a power-up or two, go back and explore everywhere you've been before, and the map will tell you where you can go, you know, once you acquired this and that, where you can go back and explore to get, because, you know, you'll be doing that a whole bunch after you get every power up every now and then.
The most recent power up that I got was the charge beam.
Okay.
Which tells you how early in the game I am.
Oh, it took me 18 hours to get everything, so it's going to be some time, but you keep plucking away with it, and if you're enjoying it, let it sink your claws into you.
Oh, no, yeah. Oh, it totally has. It really, really has. So what else have you been playing? Anything else? I mean, obviously, if you just completed that and got 100%, that's probably what you've been doing.
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about wanting to go through it again from the very beginning and all. I don't know if I'm going to do hard mode. I unlocked hard mode in it, but I've been going back and playing Graveyard Keeper that I had on the Switch. I've been enjoying that. I had a tinkering to play that again.
That's great. That's great. Tiny Build Guys did Graveyard Keeper. Yeah. I think I may have used some music for Graveyard Keeper at least some point. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I didn't. Maybe I thought I was gonna, and then I didn't because of the COVID last year. I don't remember.
You remember in the game, you know, of course, how many of the other old Metroid games have you played to an extent?
Oh, me? I've played the Primes.
Played the Primes.
Not all the way through all of them, but I have played the Metroid Primes. Maybe not three. I want to say I played one and two.
Okay.
But, and I never really messed with any of them. Super Metroid, I feel like I had a Super Nintendo, so I feel like I did play Super Metroid at some point.
Yeah.
Like as a rental from like the Blockbuster down the street or something, maybe. I don't remember, but and then other than that, it would have been Metroid, you know, the original on the NES.
Okay. Do you remember the little story of, you know, when it brought you up to date in the beginning of Dread, you know, about the DNA in those ex parasites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, you know, since it costs you up and everything, you know, I'm trying not to spoil anything or whatever. It's,
well,
you know, whatever it's already told you, I'm just going to try to hold on to that. But
that
DNA that they gave her to save her life.
Yeah, don't tell me anything. Don't tell me anything, Chris.
Yeah, it's going to develop more than just.
Don't tell me anymore.
I know. I'm not wanting to.
Yeah, just don't. Don't worry about it.
There's a key part in the story, but you're way down the road from that. And
yeah.
Like I said, you're going to be blown away with her changes and stuff that happened to her.
Fine. You're fine. You're done. You're done. I mean.
Yeah, I know. it's very hard, but it's going to make your jaw drop.
It will if you stop telling me.
I'm not going to say anymore, but yeah, I'm saying.
Thank
you. Dig into it and you'll see down the road. But don't look up any spoiler videos.
I know, man.
I did that by mistake and I found out something that's going to happen in the future, but it was still exciting when it happened actually to me. So
I'm really big on the spoiler stuff. I do not like to be spoiled about things. It's weird. My buddy Dave, like he'll do, and it's not over video games or movies or anything like that. He watches a ton of wrestling and I watch what little I can, but like if he, even when he tapes it, he goes out and he finds the results before he even watches it. I'm like, man, I can't do that. I can't get into the match, whether it be whatever, even if it's football or something like that. Don't tell me the thing because I just can't get into it. And if I know ahead of time, then that means I'm just not going to watch it because I already know. That's my problem. I can't get into what's going on because I already know how it's going to end.
But one of the cool things about the map in this game, if you zoom into the map, if you've probably seen, you get the whole map, but then it also has it gets darker wherever you've explored or wherever you've jumped into a different area. You know, you can see different changes in the color of the map.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't know, when she's rolled into a morph ball, that equals one spot on the map. You know, when you zoom in, you know, the individual small squares is the same size as her rolled up morph ball form. So you can use that map information like that to figure out things where I've got to go this way to do maybe, you know, bust a certain type of block this way and stuff. So
okay.
Keep that in the back of your head when you're trying to figure out these puzzles to get the different power-ups and stuff.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do.
It'll come in handy. And there's some other challenging bits with some of the other moves you can do with the other power-ups down the road. Basically, the one that makes you run really fast and all, but those are a pain in the you-know-what. So you might need a little help on those. You can just do a search on YouTube with like something that shows you like 30 seconds, shows you actually what you had to do. But those are quite challenging, and they'll give your thumbs and fingers a workout. Because some of those I tried to do, took me over an hour to get it perfect and get down and get through that little area.
Well, thanks for calling in and letting us know about all that. We appreciate it, and I appreciate you holding on and calling in. And you have a good weekend, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, y'all do the same and enjoy it and pick it back up and let us know next week how far you've got.
Will do, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
This is Biloxi Gambler.
What's up, man?
Okay, so you started off the show, you're talking about elephant ears and funnel cakes, and Wendy's never had any, right?
She has had a funnel cake now, yeah. She has.
Now she has.
Yeah.
But she's never had one before,
She had not had one before last night, no.
How many stents does she have?
How many what?
Stents.
Oh, gotcha. None.
Okay, well, that might be a correlation there, because you got a few.
I know.
Okay, so she nurses you through the heart attack, the pneumonia, and the COVID.
Right.
And then on the radio, you say, well, she's a witch.
Yeah.
You better not go home tonight without flowers in your hand.
Oh, no. She's perfectly fine with that. She is totally fine with that.
I know. I'm joking. I got a weird sense of humor. Because one time I went, I got a fair story. I got another one I can't tell while they're still in town. But I got it's from 100 years ago, probably 50 years ago. But anyway, so I'm at the fair, and I'm with the girl, right? I got my girl, but she wants to bring her girlfriend with her. Okay, well, I got to pay for her and her girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's almost the end of the fair, they're closing, and I'd help build some of the rides, which is another story, not for today. Anyway, I'd help build. Anyway, so we're down at the end, and I knew the dude running the ride, and there was nobody else there. It was the zipper. And that's that thing that spins around. Each car spins around, and there's an arm that spins at the same time. It spins both cars as they, you know, spin around. Okay, so I put the girls on the ride. They wanted to ride it. And I talked to the guy, and I gave him $20. And I gave him $20 just to leave him up there for a long, long time. And then we stepped behind one of the little things there, and we hung out a little bit, and you know, we smoked or whatever, I don't know. And then we came back, and they're still in there. Now they're screaming. And they're like, for the love of God, please let us out. You know, they're still going and going. And, you know, anyway. So finally, we had to stop it eventually. And so we stopped it, and they got out. And they couldn't even walk. They were on their hands and knees. And she said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. But anyway, so that's what she gets for bringing her girlfriend on our date. Anyway, man. Of course, I'm enjoying the show as always.
Well, thanks, man.
Talk to y'all later.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care now.
Yeah. No, Wendy doesn't have any kind of stents or anything like that in the. And then, like I said, I didn't eat the whole thing. I'd probably eat more than I probably should have, but again, you know. Once a year type of thing or whatever it might be. It's not going to throw me off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll get back. I mean, I woke up this morning, did my elliptical workout like I do every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just get in my exercise and doing as good as I can on the healthy part. So, to go back to what I was talking, we were talking about Metroid Dread, and I had played some of that, and I played a game called Orwell.
Okay.
I had it, I think, like I don't know if it's a season 2 was released or a episode 2 or something. I'm not exactly sure. It was just, wasn't a sequel. Mm-hmm. Didn't seem like it was a sequel, but it was another part of the game, I guess, had just released or something like that. And I was like, do I have, or I was really interested in it, and I found it. Okay, I'll give it a shot. Very low quality type graphic stuff. It's not... So you work for like a government agency type group,
mm-hmm.
and there was a bombing at a public center sort of thing. And so they come up with, I don't know how, the camera surveillance of the area, and they find somebody, and he's like, find more information about this person, and you... get their name, and you look them up, and you start finding like their blog, and you put all this information so you can get their where they work, who they're in a relationship with, how old they are, who their parents are, maybe, mm-hmm. where do they, you know, all this sort of like information that you can pull from the internet, or that you can pull from the internet inside the game,
mm-hmm.
That you can pull from all of these things, and you start to build this profile of this person,
mm-hmm.
and eventually you. And I don't know how, but eventually you're able to like listen in on their chat conversations with other people, and so they can kind of reveal more stuff. And basically, you're just trying to find out, is this the person we're looking for? Is this a suspect we need to go after to figure out who did this or to do that sort of thing? And so very, very spy-ish, but like from your desk.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm thinking about like the titles... Simulacra, Her Story, mm-hmm. or a beefed up version of Papers, Please. Something has happened. You're just going through a bunch of information to determine what's what.
Right.
Make sure everything's on the up and up.
Yep.
But in terms of the desk work, I think of Papers, Please, of sifting through information, making sure everything's right. And then I think of Her Story when you have to screen mm-hmm. interviews of people to see who's the murderer.
Yeah, like for this woman who was involved in this thing, or at least who they think is involved in this thing. I found out that I found her.
You said it was her blogs, her things like that.
Well, she's like an artist. So I found her artist page.
Yeah.
You know, as whatever, where she displays her art and talks about herself and that sort of thing. And so there was a section in there that talks about, or some other forum where she was writing on about how the group that she's with is completely nonviolent and they don't like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I find like her Facebook page was not her Facebook page, but something resembling Facebook, where she's posted a picture of a story about it. And in it, she's praising that somebody finally took down the tower, the park, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so you've got conflicting things. She's not for violence, but at the same time, she's praising violence. And so it's like, which one do you want to feed into that organization, the Orwell people? Which version of her do you want to give them?
Mm-hmm.
The one where she's claiming there is no violence, or the one where she's proudly, you know, happy about what happened?
Yeah.
You know, you've got to pick which one. And sometimes it's different because the blog where she wrote that they are nonviolent was before the bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one where she's praising the bombing was afterwards, of course. And so I said, well, that's the most recent, so you would go with that one rather than the old one and give them, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll come up with like conflicting things like that, and you've got to choose which one you want to give to them to define who this person is or who, you know, to give more information to them about who this person is. So I found it interesting.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's
because it's like it's a detective work, sifting information, trying to make the right choice based on all the information you can.
It is
based on how much information you can gather from a thing.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking, okay, if she was cool before the bombing happened, now she's praising violence. I'm like, could you find anything about what happened in between?
Right,
those
right,
posts?
Right.
Is there anything in there that you may have missed, that you may have looked
right.
over? Something
no,
that,
there's not.
Yeah.
So far, and again, this was the first thing, and it was probably a tutorial mission more than anything else.
Right.
It was probably something where it's like, here's how these things go.
Mm-hmm.
So at least for that first one, there's not an outright, you did good, you did bad. You know what I'm saying? It didn't say that, oh, you got the girl. No, you didn't. And for spoiler purposes, I won't tell you what happens, but it's not resolved once you're done with her. Because once you're done with her, you move on to someone else.
Right.
But it's all within relation of the same event, at least from this first one to this second one. I don't know if it carries on throughout the game. Because I don't know how many chapters of the first episode there is.
So it's like, I mean, is that not just one, something like this, not just one person, like who planned it,
right,
who got the stuff together,
people involved,
who
so.
Arranged this, who set this up, you know, all that.
Yeah, so I'm still going through that. But
yeah.
It was just a nice little, you know, it wasn't shooty bangs anymore. And of course, I played Destiny, and, you know, that's fine. Destiny's got their little Halloween event going on. It is nice. They've made it very grindy. And then, so they made it grindy. But
right.
people found ways to skirt the grindiness, or at least help get through it, and then Bungie issued an update that nerfed it. They said, "Well,
of course,
you're going, this is not how we would like you to play." Even though almost every time they talk about how the game plays, they talk about we want you to play the game your way.
No,
no, you don't.
No,
you don't.
You're like a Rockstar with their online games right now. Make earning experience, or like with Rockstar earning money or things, tedious.
Yeah,
so tedious to the point where you consider buying currency from their store.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see Destiny being any different. You find an efficient way to gain XP the way you want to, and suddenly the method that you use is getting nerfed.
Yeah.
Out of existence.
I mean, I understood because there was a legit exploit with some of the things you could do to earn stuff for the Halloween event. There was a legit exploit for it. But the reason that I can't justify it, and we're way behind, was the fact that it's a free event for everybody. It's not just for paying players. It's for everybody who's playing. It's a completely free event for you. Secondly, it's a limited time event. Who cares? It's a limited time event. Who cares if they're finding faster ways to get through your content in a limited time event? You know? I could understand it if it was a longer full season type of thing because you don't want people to get through it in the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Okay.
You know, you want to stretch it out every long you
right,
get to.
Hold on, okay.
What's
offered for this event? What's the big prize of this event, basically?
There's absolutely... it's some lore that you're unlocking, which if you're big on that, that's your big event. But okay.
I'm talking about items or something like that. Anything special item-wise? Outfit? Weapon?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't know. See, that's the problem you run into when you play Destiny as long as I have. If they throw something up for you to do, you just do it because you're not even looking at what's the result. You're like, well, got to do this. Regardless of outcome, I have to do this because this is what they're telling me to do. Now, I don't know. There's probably something there, but there's always this, there's no FOMO. There's no fear of missing out on this.
Mm-hmm.
I guess mainly it's just I got through all the others. I'm going to get through this one. You know what I'm saying? I've completed all their Halloween events before. Stuff, yeah. I'm going to complete this one. So,
no, I'm just thinking if there's something that's that people are getting through there efficiently. And there's some item that
I would say no, there's not.
No, there's not. Okay,
well. There is a collection of triumphs, and of course, there is some stuff. Once you've unlocked this, you get this really cool ghost shell or this speeder bike or whatever the thing is. But there's nothing that is you get this exotic weapon that nobody else can get unless you finish this. Nothing like that.
Okay. Yeah.
There's absolutely nothing like
that. Because the way it was sounding is like it's set up to where there's something like that available and.
No,
too many people getting it.
There's a weapon that they have that's like a reskinned version of another weapon. But that thing drops in all of the Halloween events, and it drops a lot in all of those Halloween events.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that you're trying to build towards. Mm-hmm. It's something you can easily farm and try and get a good roll.
Yeah,
and it's a pulse rival. But a Jurassic Green is what it is called.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, that's it. There really is, outside of getting the triumphs for it, you know, the achievement type stuff, there's really nothing. And, it's just for completionists if you want to do that. Which, again, but that goes back to my whole thing. There isn't anything here for people to take advantage of. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing here for them to get that if they don't do the event, they're not going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so... why make the change like that? That's my questioning. So anyway, we need to take a break. We are way behind. Again, let me go back to this whole thing with the way Wendy picked music here. I'd have never thought to look at the video game Godzilla Unleashed to get any kind of spooky, scary music.
Monster movies?
No, this was a video game from a good way back.
No, I mean, monster movies... would have something that sounds...
not necessarily the Godzilla stuff, you know?
Well, suspense, probably.
Yeah, well, anyway, this is Destroya's theme, is what it is. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Again, another great example of where to go to find scary music. Look no further than a Sonic the Hedgehog game. The character name is it Mephiles? M-E-P-H-I-L-E-S? Mephiles?
Don't know the name, but which Sonic game is this from?
I think it was just Sonic the Hedgehog. If they did a re-thing or something, it didn't have a 1 in front of it. But I can tell you now, it wasn't the original Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay, because I don't remember this. I don't remember this at all.
It's Mathiel's Whisper is the name of the track. M-E-P-H-I-L-E-S, Mathiel's. I know you're looking that up now. Did you find the game? Did it come from? Yeah?
I think it's from the... Oh, it's from the bad one.
It's from the bad one?
The Sonic the Hedgehog remake of 2006. That was the bad one.
That's what I was saying. It came from, I think, a game that's just called Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I didn't play that one.
But I had no idea, like, which Sonic the Hedgehog that came from.
Yeah. That's why I never played it. I mean, I read the reviews and saw the Let's Plays of the game, and it was not a good time.
Let's see. Let's go through the news here as things were happening. The GTA trilogy, the Grand Theft Auto trilogy, Definitive Edition, whatever, that was finally announced. It was kind of a rumor that it was going to happen, or at least it was announced that it would happen and that they would, but they didn't announce much else. The physical versions will be released in December, but the all of it, I guess, apparently, I don't know. The Definitive Edition, it's going to cost you $70. I know. People can't read your face. Well, yeah, they can, because they can see your
face.
That
was my camera. I mean, like,
I forgot about the camera, yeah.
Well, it's GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got all those already, so...
I know, and I mean, it would need to be a significant upgrade in order for me to justify $70 on sort of thing.
And also, let's bear in mind that these are all story-based games. So I'm already familiar with the story and the ending for each one. So there's really no need for me to go back. So I can't see myself picking this up for any reason.
Yeah.
So.
No, I completely understand. I don't see myself doing it any either because again, it's got to be some sort of significant upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they add online experience into it. I don't know.
I'm already dealing with that with GTA Online.
I know, right? Exactly. But I really don't know. I'd like to understand what else you get with this game other than three games that I guess have been remastered. I suppose I don't know. So. What else do we have going on? No, that's not that. Well, okay. It wasn't a lot. I will go back to some of the other things from last week that we didn't touch on that I wanted to talk about. The Marvel's Avengers game, which is now on Game Pass, by the way, if you wanted to play that. They've started selling XP boosters, which of course is sort of a pay-to-win sort of method, although from what I understand, don't do that now, Mr. iPad. I didn't really need you to go through that. Okay. I apologize. They've added XP boosters. Paid consumable items called Heroes Catalysts in the marketplace... As part of an update they rolled out Thursday, changes are sitting well with Marvel's Avengers players who say that developer has gone back on its pledge to only offer paid microtransactions for cosmetic items like skins and other flourishes. But now they have... You can purchase a consumable with a one-day duration for 100 credits, a three-day duration for 250 credits, or a seven-day duration for 500 credits. Square Enix currently sells a pack of 500 credits for $5, while the highest price bundle at $100 offers you 13,000 credits.
I just love that. $99.99. Just say $100.
I know.
Yeah.
Let's see. This purchased or this quickly angered portions of the player base.
I bet.
Have destroyed player trust. Have broken promises on pay-to-win mechanics. Many point to the game's recent addition to the Xbox Game Pass as a catalyst to sell consumable XP boosters to a new audience. Yeah, I understand that. You were told it wasn't going to happen, and then it does, and I can get that. What I can't get is, well, I don't know. I just can't get into that game.
Mm-hmm.
I really just can't get into the Avengers game.
Yeah, maybe a lot of folks have the same, maybe a lot of players have the same idea, and hence they went back on it because they needed the money. Just by how much they put into it.
Thar 66 says, the one I finished was for the main campaign? Must have been something else we're talking about. Maybe that was Sonic, I guess. I don't know. trying to touch screen on my computer over here, and I can't. Because my iPad's over here and the computer's over here. He said they just showed two trailers for Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad from the DC event. Those are both the Suicide Squad, the new game from Rocksteady. Gotham Knights is, I think, the game from Montreal, WB Montreal, I believe. Mm. The ones who did Arkham Origins.
Okay.
Which I liked Arkham Origins. Mm. I feel like it should at least sit up there with the Rocksteady ones and maybe even close to the top. Of those Rocksteady ones as well. But he said it looks promising, especially Suicide Squad. That's good to hear. I say that. I haven't seen anything. Was it gameplay involved? I'll wait for Thar to answer because I know we're on a delay. Mm-hmm. I guess I should make sure nobody's popped into Discord waiting for me to talk to them because I apologize. So the Gotham Knights trailer from last year's event... We actually saw gameplay, but the Suicide Squad trailer from last year, we saw no gameplay whatsoever. Even though some people talked about how excited they were for it and how great it looked and everything else. And I was like, great, how great did it look? You saw absolutely no gameplay. Why would you say it looked great? Sure, that cutscene looked real nice, which honestly it didn't to me. Not that it looked bad, but I was not pulled into that. I just wasn't.
Pretty Graphics is not going to do it for, I don't think anybody now. We expect, I think I've said it before, Pretty Graphics ain't enough.
That's the same thing with films, man. You can throw me a special effects spectacular, but if I am not invested in what you're doing, then it's just, you're just a clip show to me.
Yeah.
You're just a show me the next really cool thing and let me skip all whatever you're trying to sell me on a story wise if it's not engaging.
I was looking through a trailer while we talking. It's like, yeah, it's real pretty, but just like it's cutscene galore right now.
Thar 66 says there was kind of some in-game bits and pieces, but almost all B-roll, which that's fine. I'm curious as to the gameplay of
what I saw was like 90-10 of cutscene and 10% actual gameplay.
I'm
90-10,
sure.
Something
I'm sure.
Like that.
I think they finally did give a date for, or at least they gave a year for it, which is next year, which is not good enough. I'm sure people are like, hey, it's going to come next year. No. That's fine. You can roll with that headline if you want to.
Next year, yeah.
But you know that it's likely going to be pushed again. Yeah. Rocksteady haven't been doing too great as far as, I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just that they tried to do something right after Arkham Knight, or at least they started work on something after Arkham Knight, and then apparently had to scratch everything they were working on and start completely new. And I don't know if that was Warner Brothers coming in saying, no, you need to change that to this. You know, I don't know if that was Warner Brothers stepping in, if it was them looking at it and saying, we've got this all wrong, we got to go back to the drawing board and fix this. You know, whatever the case may be, I don't know. The lore, the rumors, the whole, like, the talk that you hear about was that, you know, Warner Brothers wanted a, not a MOBA, but a games as a service type thing, where it's like, look, this is the only thing you're going to develop for the rest of your, for the rest of your lives. Mm. You're just going to keep adding content to it so people can buy more stuff. You know, they wanted to turn it into something like that. And so that was the rumor. And, of course, they had not gone in that direction, so they had to flip it and start over. Then there were stories of, they tried to work on some sort of, I think, a Superman game or something like that, and then they got a little ways into the development and said, we can't do that.
I think we talked about it before. It's hard to make a Superman game, apparently.
I say it is, but I'm on that same page with you. I think it is, but I also think that there is a way to do it. I don't know what it is, but I feel like there is just something under the surface that we're missing to give you a really, really good game where you play a Superman.
Yeah.
they figured it out with a few other characters. Like, I mean, they really got Batman. They got Batman right so well, so well. Spider-Man got done very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, for Spider-Man, you got to get the web slinging right. With Batman, you know, you got to get the martial arts and the gadgets right. But with Superman, there's so many things you've got to get right with him.
Another one that they got right. Well, they haven't gone back to the well on this thing, but they really got it right, which was it X-Men Origins Wolverine? The movie was horrible, but the movie that was the game that was based on that film, done by Raven Software, was spectacular. Was great. That was a really good, and they got the Wolverine thing down. Yeah. It was really, really well done.
Yeah.
And now, of course, the guys who did Spider-Man are going back to, so they're going to do a Wolverine game coming out, whatever, next year, 2 years from now, whatever it is. So yeah, there is. And that's why I feel like, you know what? I think there's something there. I don't know where it is. I feel like it's just under the surface. Like we're just.
It's just a puzzle. It's just right a little there. Puzzle that you got to figure out.
Yeah, it's like on the right there. There's something there. Solving it. And you've got a gem of a game with Superman. I just can't. I don't know what it is. A team of people will find whatever that is. And extract that bit of game. Say, this is it. This is our key to what we need to do. So I feel like it's there. I don't know. I don't make games. So sometimes I talk like I think I do, but I don't make games. I really, really don't. Let's see. What else did we have? Oh yeah, there was a review roundup for Far Cry 6 that I wanted to go over, only for the fact that I really want to try and do more of these, like, review roundup type things, especially when a big game gets released. I really want to go through and give you some scores out there, because maybe you're curious about how well it did. Okay. That's interesting. So GameSpot gave it a 7. I guess a 7 out of 10. It says their review is in progress. Far Cry 6 is often a fun game that feels like it's throwing everything at you, and if you want a heap of content, it absolutely has you covered. A lot of its elements are fun in isolation. However, taken together, it feels like a lot of desperate things that keep taking your attention back to menus and map icons and away from the fun and the story. After 24 hours, I'm not sure I want to do all of these other things. I just want to blow stuff up. Sounds like what happened when I started playing Just Cause. Like, Just Cause has a story. Or Just Cause 3, Just Cause 4, those Just Cause, when they went into the...
I thought it was 2 that was like that. Or is it all of them?
No, well...
I think 2 was the one where it was like the sandbox just blew away the story. I mean, you just had so much fun with all the gadgets and tools and stuff like that.
It was in 2, and then when they made 3, they took a lot of what the modding community did to 2 and included it in there.
Okay.
Not with the mod's consent or the modder's consent or credit or anything like that. They just thought, that's a good idea. We're just going to implement that into our game.
Okay.
And I think that's what 3 was. And then 4 was that plus, like, weather effects of, like, tornadoes and things. Kind of like what they're doing with Battlefield right now. But, yeah, it went into the absurd, which is fine. If you can pull that off, you can lean hard into it, and really it'll pay off for you.
Yeah.
Saints Row did it. Just Cause did it. So I think there's a few others that you could probably name.
Yeah, like Saints Row had to.
Yeah.
I
mean, well, they had to.
Something, have something just to differentiate the shadow of the GTA, yeah.
And I think at the same time, so did probably Just Cause. It's still, Just Cause still had that sort of, you've got missions here, but you've also got all this other free stuff that you can do, this free roam stuff, these other little things. And, well, yeah, well, then what sets you apart from any other game that lets you do that? And so they added in the grappling hook, they added in the tether mechanic, and all this other stuff, and just, you know, kind of just amped up the absurdity, in a sense. But yeah, that's the way I got into, like, Just Cause 2, 3, 4, whatever. You get in there, and it starts a story because it's got to give you a reason for you to have the setting and everything else.
Right.
But for the most part, once you get a certain way through and you've got some good stuff to play around with, you don't ever jump back to the main story. You just go and have fun.
Yeah.
You just use the world as your sandbox.
Yeah.
VGC gave it a 2 out of 5. If you're interested in another Far Cry game that does the Far Cry stuff the way it's been doing it for 10 Far Cry years, you'll probably have a good time. But if you already hit your limit with this kind of game, 6 is the plus ultra, the new game plus ultra of why open world game design is so badly in need of a revolution. Or the any the NIP plus ultra? I don't know. Maybe it was a misspelling. IGN gave it an 8 out of 10. Says it's some of the most fun I've had with this series in nearly a decade. Its cast delivers strong performances. The story, even predictable as it is, it doesn't always land the bigger swings it tries to take. And despite some faltering new inventory mechanics and a handful of bizarre design choices, its creative weaponry makes taking down means taking down an outpost, ransacking a convoy, or even just taking a ride with a buddy has never felt better. Games Radar gave it a 4 out of 5. Polygon gave it no score. Said Far Cry as a whole is frozen in time. The few mechanical additions in the series' latest entry don't show much improvement over what Far Cry 5 or New Dawn had already explored. And if your interest lies in the search for any semblance of proper representation, you're better off looking elsewhere. Far Cry 6 is in. Oh man. If Far Cry 6 is any indication of what AAA publishers can do with a Latin American setting, painting it more as a window dressing than an actual picture worth celebrating, I'd rather not see another one try. Eurogamer gave it no score. If you were looking for a sequel that would shake up the series and bring about a gameplay revolution, you won't find it here. But if you enjoy that classic Far Cry collect-em-up grind and want a new sandbox to explore and explode, you're going to be far from bored with what Far Cry 6 has to offer. There's some reviews for you. You know, take that as you wish, and make your choice, your buying choice, wisely. Let's go to a break. Plus Ultra is the motto of the school and the popular manga anime My Hero Academia. Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. All right, it's Metroid Dread. This is the music we're using for this. I loved when I popped the game in and I heard this as it was loading up. I was like, ah, yes, it's the old Metroid theme, but of course it's not 8-bit or anything like that. It's whatever this is, and they've got a little bit of a doom and gloom on it, of course, because it's called Metroid Dread. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Dead Space 2. Track called Titan Station Elementary.
Yeah.
It's the babies.
Yep.
The evil babies.
Or they just explode.
That's what they did, right?
They exploded babies, yeah.
Yeah.
They crawled up to you, wrapped themselves around you, then they glowed, and they went boom, boom. And you're dead. I still think you picked a Dead Space track, and I think still the most...
Wendy picked that.
Yeah. I think the creepiest song in all of Dead Space is still that rendition of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Uh-huh.
That is just that's nightmare fuel.
I'm sure,
if you hear it at the right time, man.
Let's get back to, okay, oddly enough, I don't know why, but Randy Pitchford is no longer president of Gearbox Software. He's still involved, but he apparently is moving to, he moved to head up the Gearbox Studios team, which I guess is now the media section of Gearbox. Like trying to get more of their properties into animated shows, live action series, things like that, because they're working on the Borderlands movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's moved into that position. Somebody else has moved in as president of the company. When I first read about the fact that somebody else was now president of Gearbox, I thought, oh, Randy. Mm-hmm. Oh, Randy done got himself in trouble, you know? Because he did come under fire for some stuff a couple years back.
Yeah,
about a thumb drive that somebody found.
Yeah, someone found a thumb drive. There was some
stuff on it.
Yeah, stuff.
As we say. Yeah,
stuff in quotations.
So yeah, there was some not good stuff on that thumb drive. So I thought, something's happened to Randy. And it turns out, no. He just moved.
Just moving to something else.
He just, sidestepped over to a different part of the studio there and started working on that sort of thing. So.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we have? Shinmue getting an anime series. Did you read about that?
I don't know. Anime series?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, there's a first look at it. It's if you go into the news thing I said, you can scroll down to where it's the older news stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a joint production between Adult Swim and Crunchyroll. It comes out next year. Announced over a year ago today, we got our first look at the Shinmue anime series. I hope you like punching and kicking. The series is a joint production, and that is all the information we got, except for a little bitty first look sneak peek thing for Shinmue the Animation. So, hope you'll enjoy that there.
We'll see. What you got?
Oh, hang on. It's... Yeah, never mind. I'm sorry. This thing was playing audio. thought I had all that stuff turned down, but I will do that now. There it goes. So, yeah. Let's see, what else? There was... That's interesting, the one you just clicked on?
Mm-hmm.
About the U.S. gaming? That was something I'd saved from last week, and this is an article from Game Industry Biz, or GameIndustry.biz.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. gaming has lost half of the audience gains that it made in 2020. According to NPD's 2021 Evolution of Entertainment report, 2020 saw the number of Americans playing games jump from 73% to 79%. However, this year that figure has backslid down to 76%. The NPD group found spending on U.S. video games is up 35% for the 6 months that ended in July of 2021. Time spent playing games has continued to increase throughout the pandemic. 16 and a half hours weekly this year. That's up from 14 hours a week in 2020 and 12.7 hours a week in 2019. Oh, the NPD noted that growth in time spent playing games was led by older gamers.
Mm-hmm.
We had a number of lapsed gamers in the 45-64 age group re-enter the market last year, not only for entertainment, but to stay connected with family and friends, and these gamers have continued to play more than the other age groups. Despite an overall decline in the percentage of folks that play games in the market at the time, 45-64-year-old gamers spent playing continued to increase. That's an interesting note. I would be curious to see if that might, obviously the pandemic, that whole thing, people out of work, people staying at home, whatever the case, they have a lot more time to play video games. I'm very curious if any of that had to do with Animal Crossing, of all things.
Possible.
I'm curious about that. Or the Switch itself. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Lethal Migrate says the average game... Oh, the average... I probably meant the average gamer. The average gamer is around... Yeah, there it is. The average gamer is around 38 years old. It's always been an older user base. It really has. It always seems to have scaled. Like, it's always felt like when I was... I don't know if... I guess we always feel like maybe we were born in the heyday of whatever it is that was something we enjoyed. I'm not saying we were born in the heyday of gaming or anything, but I feel like where I played video games as a kid, it feels like the consumer part of that has grown with me. Like, I was in that demographic that, like, this is the one, and then and then as it grows, it's like, well, this is, you know, our bread and butter is coming from this age range. Mm-hmm. And it's always scaled as I get older. I don't know that that's the case. It always just feels that way. And this report seems to put me into that group as well, where it's just always scaled up into that. And I don't know that that's the way it is. But something about it sort of feels that way. And I guess maybe it's when I go and I make these, you know, make these visits to like PAX and E3, or at least I did. And the majority of people that I would run into were not younger people. They were me or older people who were there for these things.
No parents bringing their kids with them?
Well, yeah, of course there was that. But, you know, it was parents who were also interested in playing these games. They just happen to have kids, and so they're bringing their kids into it as well. The other part of that is that I could easily just be, it's a product of your environment type of thing. In other words, I went to PAX and hung out with people my age because those are the people I'm going to hang out with, and that's why the perception was it's moving with you type of thing. I don't actually think that's true. This report seems to say otherwise. So I'm not sure. What are we getting? There was some PS Plus stuff we're getting this, well, I say this month, but it's actually coming out next month for November. Oddly, I got rid of my VR, and they're going to give you some free VR games. PlayStation Plus subscribers will be swimming in free games next month. They're celebrating the PSVR's fifth birthday and announced that it will give away a trio of VR games to PS Plus members in November. We don't know what they're going to be, by the way. They haven't announced what those games are going to be for. They haven't even announced what November's PlayStation Plus games are going to be at all. So we don't know, but you're going to get three extra games because of PSVR.
If you have VR, though, yeah. So.
Well, go ahead and add them to the account, right? Because maybe you'll get some VR later, or maybe you'll sign in when you've got... I still go... Regardless, if it's free, I add it to my account, you know? Just to attach it, which is why my Steam pile is this big. My Epic Games pile is getting bigger. My PS Plus games getting bigger. Or Game Pass with Microsoft. That thing's huge. Which I never got around to playing Back 4 Blood, by the way. Never did get around to doing that. Yeah, I sold my PSVR. Sold it back to GameStop to get credit. And I have a ton of credit there. I actually kind of am looking for a better VR setup. Like, I've got two VR setups at the house. I've got a Vive and an Oculus Rift.
So they both have a lot of wires all over the
place? It's a whole lot of wires and stuff. And so I was looking at the...
tripping hazard galore, yeah.
And not even a tripping hazard. It's like, I just don't want to fool with hooking all that stuff up, you know? So I need to... What I need to do is offload those, to be honest with you. I really need to just sell them. And accept the loss that I'm going to take on those from what I paid for them. But I was looking at the Oculus Quest 2. It is all contained in the system itself. So you don't need wires. You know, you charge it up, you put it on, you can play in the room, and you can measure out your room and then play inside the room, that sort of thing. And it's all everything goes on in the headset itself.
Right.
But it has a link, a USB thing you plug into the side that connects to your computer, and then all of a sudden you can play any of your VR stuff on your computer.
Okay.
Probably doesn't work with PSVR, but I will check. I don't think it does. So I was looking into that, seeing, do I want to go there? Because I've got all this credit at GameStop. And I was like, what can I do? Either sell this or maybe look at some of this. Because I was looking at, two really weird things that I want, or at least that I've sort of had an eye on, is a drone. Mm-hmm. I would really like one of those at some point, but the price has really never scaled enough for me to say, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. And then, maybe a nice VR thing, but I don't know if the Oculus Quest 2 is that nice VR thing. I don't know. So, whatever. I'm holding off. That store credit's not going to go anywhere outside of GameStop going bankrupt, and they're not. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay. I got time.
Yeah.
I got time to wait and see and sit on all of this game credit that I picked up. So that's what I'm actually going to do. What else did we have? There was some Activision stuff, I would love to go over this stuff with you like I'm a logger, but it bores me to death. The juicy parts, obviously, about here's how they just got shot in the foot are good to go over, but the whole different thing, the communications union has objected to the settlement that Activision Blizzard made with the state of California. California's lawsuit right now is being accused of an ethics violation. A federal agency has accused California's Department of, the DFEH, the Department of Fair Employee something, I don't know what that is, of an ethics violation is what they're coming out to now. So there's the latest on the Activision Blizzard situation and what's happening with them. Oh, hey, we got a phone call. Right before we leave, too. Hi, you're on in-game chat. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Now you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's me again. It's Chris.
Hey, what's up?
I've played diverse VR one, the Oculus Quest 1. Tim, I got one of those years ago. But from what I experienced, of course, I've had really none. But, I really enjoyed that one a whole lot. It was easy to do everything. And so maybe you can just look up some reviews of how the performance is and then the different games you can play with the Quest 2, because I'm thinking about wanting to get one of the Quest 2s down the road, because they've did a price decrease. I think it's $300 for the 128 gig one, I think it was, or they're upgrading it where you can get more memory of that. I'm thinking about wanting to get one of those down the road, because my VR headset up, with the PlayStation is non-existent in my room. I have a little room, but I'd rather go outside where I have the whole patio and, not have to worry about bumping my arms and stuff.
Right, yeah. And you can get a very long cord, the USB cord, for the one where you can link it to your PC. You can get a very long cord. So maybe your VR room, or at least the room that you can play some real, you got some space to work with. Like your computer's in a small office,
Right.
And then the other room is big. Well, you can get a very long cord that will stretch to where you're at so that you can play that. I don't know how good it is because you'd have to be at your computer to initiate, and then you have to walk to the room where you want to do this. Probably not while wearing the helmet, I would say, or the face covering there. So, but yeah, that's something that's interested me, and I've been watching some reviews on it, but I'm not swayed just yet.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, but I'm like, if they've done it, somebody else surely has done it, and I'd like to see what they have to offer.
I know there was one set, and I remember tweaking inside the Oculus Quest 1 where you could do a motion or you look down or something, and it would show you what's outside, so you wouldn't have to take the helmet off. You could actually see through its camera.
They do, and I want to say the Quest 2 and there's a few others have that sort of, what's it called, not AR.
Virtual, yeah, where you can basically be what
yeah.
I was the thing on your
basically
head.
Kind of is AR. It's not alternate reality, but whatever it is. It's just where boom.
I'd say actual reality.
Yeah, well, basically, yeah. It's just like, here you go. Here's your settings outside. Because they have cameras that are tracking your movements.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a way you can flip them to where it's just like, okay, here's the room you're in.
Here's what's outside
right.
your virtual reality experience.
Yeah, and Matt had picked up, in fact, I hit him up because I was curious if that's what he got, because Matt had gotten a VR set. Mm-hmm. This goes back a ways, because I was like, didn't you pick up a Quest or a Quest 2? And no, he picked up a Rift S, whatever that is, an Oculus Rift S.
But I've seen other people set up, you know, if you get a long cable to tether it to your computer, which, you know, if you're definitely, from what I've understood, strong enough to do it, you could have some hooks and stuff on the ceiling and run the cable through there and then make it where the cable's not in the way whenever you want to play with it.
Yeah, I don't mind the cable being there, because it's not usually going to be, unless you stay in the room where it's all at, then yeah, you're going to have a lot of cable on the floor.
Yeah.
But I've never had a problem with the cable issue of like tripping over cables or anything. It's a lot of cables, though. It was a conscious decision to say I'm going to play VR today, because I would have to get everything out, hook a bunch of things up, make sure they're good, and then when I'm done, it isn't just I'll take it off and leave it there and then use it the next time. No. You take it off, you've got to unplug everything again, because it is just a mess of wires. And you're using up so much stuff there, so it's like, yeah, it's better just to remove it, unplug it all.
How much time do you have? How much time to take you to set it up from scratch?
From scratch?
Yeah.
Depends on which one you're asking. The Oculus Rift, not very long.
Okay.
That was a camera that sits in the front of you. You plug that into a USB port, and then you've got the Rift machine or the Rift face mask itself and the controllers. Both the two controllers are wireless, and the face mask itself had a bunch of wires that plugged into your computer,
mm-hmm.
Along with your camera that also plugged in the computer to monitor that. So the Rift, or the Oculus Rift, not so much. The Vive required me to mount a infrared camera type thing on one side of the room, and then mount another one on the other side of the room, so it could see me, because it was full room VR. And so there was that, and it had a bunch of cables that came off the face mask into a port of some, like a hub. So all of those plugged into there, and then a couple of cables came out from that and went into your PC. The two camera things connected into the back of your PC also had another cable that plugged into an outlet. Both of those were powered, so they could see that. And then your controllers were wireless, but of course had to be charged, and their connection was a USB connection to charge them.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of wires involved with that.
Yeah.
A lot, because you would have to take out your monitor wire and plug that into the hub thing, and then take that from the hub and plug that into your PC. It was just a lot to go through to get it done. Yeah. And of course I did it because I was like, hey, VR, it's wonderful. And then you play it and it's like, knowing full well that, yeah, they'll eventually, if this is something that they're going to continue to develop,
mm-hmm.
they'll get to that point. And I don't know what episodes it was, but you can go back and find episodes where I said, you know what, it's not consumer friendly right now. It'll get there when there's less wires, lower price, and, you know, I would say better equipment, but less equipment really is what I'm saying.
Yeah, less. Yeah.
A face mask and a controller, or controllers, because it does individual hand movements, and hopefully get rid of the cables if they could. And back then I was like, I don't see where they're going to get rid of the cables, but sure enough they did. Mm-hmm. For better or worse, I suppose. I don't know. I really haven't researched it too much to find out. Well, Chris, we're about to head out, man, but thank you for calling back.
Well, if he do it like the Quest 2 and you wanted to hook it up to the computer, at least he'd have one cable instead of many.
Oh, yeah. No. One cable over everything else, that's perfectly fine. I'm totally fine with that. I'd even be fine with two if it had to be, but, depending on what it was. But trust me, the amount of cables that I had hooking up the Vive and the Rift compared to the one cable you have to hook up with the Quest 2. Yeah, sure. Give me that any day and every day. Thanks for calling, man.
All right, y'all have a good one then.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Yeah, we got to go here. I want to thank everybody for joining us on this episode as well. Thank you for joining us in the chat room, both for Twitch there and also for Discord. We do appreciate you guys. And don't forget, join us on our Discord. We're welcome to talk on the air with us. Just pop into Discord anytime. Give me a ping or something. It'll alert me on my phone so I'll know you're in there. But feel free to do it. Thanks to everybody who was listening on the stream, on the radio. We really, really appreciate you guys listening in every week. We do appreciate that. Met a few of you out at the fair, so thank you so much. You can get us on Twitter and Facebook. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel and also subscribe to our Twitch channel. And don't forget to join us up on Facebook as well. You guys have a fantastic week. The entire crew will be back next week. So have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. Here's music from, well, she picked a good one here, BioShock. This is Where They Sleep. Thank you.